This episode of Action With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTapSend. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICCHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Lakshmi Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabine Rai and the Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to another episode of Action With Podcast. And today I have with me Yuvan Black. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How was your journey in? Because I know it took a bit of a while.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was actually just a 1 hour journey. But we got stuck in traffic. You know, it was a one way road. People were arguing, trying to get in. But yeah, we were very patient and luckily we got through. So yeah.
And now you're here.
Yes.
Right. You know, like normally when I think about you, I think about the group. You know, I don't think of you, I don't quite think of you guys as a kind of singular thing.
Yeah.
So I think about, oh, okay, Jay, Zach, Yuvan, Tisuri, Sotsu, you know, and then the whole kind of metanoia squad. So it's quite rare to be able to get this opportunity to sit down with you. So I feel like, you know, I'm quite excited.
Yeah, for me, it's a good opportunity to express myself. You know, mm-hmm. Normally we're... it's always Jay or either just three of us, you know?
Yeah.
But
even the interviews that I've seen of, you know, you and the team, it's always been like quite a long, you know, big couch with like all three, four
people. Yeah. The thing is, like, when we're in a group, we have, you know, similar mindsets, but sometimes mm-hmm. we have different opinions.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think this is a good opportunity to, you know, have my take on.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And to kind of get started with, I mean, you guys have been very busy, you know, dropping at least three songs already now.
Yeah.
Saiho, Django, and Kursani.
Yeah.
And this is all from RN Bop.
Yes, RN Bop.
That's a collaborative album between you and Jay.
And Jay, yes.
Yeah.
It's a collaborative album, but what I would say is like everyone in the team was involved. Mm-hmm. So it's more like not just us, it's about everyone else. You know, it helps everyone as well for their portfolio, you know, their profile, what they need to do, like dancers, mm-hmm. editors, you know, doing PRs, you know, project management, everything.
Yeah. So, yeah. So now that you're already kind of seeing the outcome, seeing how people are responding to the music videos, to the songs, to the kind of visuals that you're putting out, how are you kind of like, how's the response been for you?
In all complete honesty, I think it's like mixed. Mm-hmm. I would say our fans, they love it, but you've got this other, like, you know, 25% that maybe they're still not used to the sound because it's not very normal for this kind of sound to be Nepalese music.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit different. It's very very hip hop, very British. The slangs that we use and the way we write our lyrics is completely different. So it's not like what we did before. Mm-hmm. Before it was much more easier to understand, but now we've got more British slang in there and a bit more British style. So it's a little bit difficult to digest, but I think in time, maybe people will understand, you know?
Yeah, I think I can definitely feel that. I can definitely see that in terms of the change and the kind of new path that you guys are on and trying to kind of steer away from, not steer away, but also like you guys did what you did so well. It's almost like now let's try something new.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we're seeing. Yeah. And even like the music and the beats are quite different from what we would have heard from your kind of previous hits, like, you know, Time Taina or Martuki Kyaho.
Yeah.
They had very kind of, you know, I guess it was much more normal for Nepali listeners to expect that, right?
Yeah, I would say even in that phase, we were still experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of, whatever was on trend at that time, that's the type of music we would go for.
Yeah.
But working on this album, I think this is more us.
Because
when we released, like for me, when I was Aizen, when I released Time Chena with Jay, for me, that was still a learning curve.
You know?
I didn't expect Time Chena to blow up like that, like mm-hmm. you know, it was still a learning curve for me. But now you know, for 4 or 5 years I've been doing music, now I kind of know what I want and what kind of artist I want to be. you know, identity comes along, you know, once you keep doing music. You know, you take inspirations from different type of sounds that you listen to, you know, Afro, Korean music, you got American music. We're all influenced and we're all dived into this culture. And eventually when you keep doing music, you kind of change your style and you adapt this identity that you have. And I think right now, R&Bop is all about that, you know?
Yeah.
It's more about just having fun. It's nothing serious.
Yeah.
Just have fun and enjoy music.
Yeah. I think that's how life should be as well. Because, you know, life is long and we're going to hop from different things, right? We're going to, like, you know, right now we might feel R&Bop, but in a few years' time, there might be a new genre forming that we don't even know right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take that question back to, I mean, the first time that I actually saw you, you were participating in this contest called T-Fest. and at that moment, I think there was a lot of cover song situation going on back then, right? Because it was like a contest.
Yeah.
If you have to think back to that time, what would you have said that your genre was then? Or, you know, who did that version of you then wanted to kind of, you know, be?
So that was me. That was Sogat Limbu back in the days. That was me. Just at that time,
we're on version 3 now, are we?
Yeah, version 3. I think, let me bring it back a little bit more before that, actually. Yeah. When I initially started music, it was not something very big. It was actually very small and very... very childish, I would say. Not even childish. It's very natural for someone to, you know, impress a girl. You know, that was the main thing why I used to sing, because my...
Oh my God, who is she?
This was back in Hong Kong, you know. I used to do music because I wanted to impress people, because my confidence wasn't great. I was not very good with speaking to, you know, a girl. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But I think music itself helped me a lot build my confidence. Mm-hmm. It helped me in many ways. Like, you know, it's crazy. You know, people don't think about little things, but music actually changed my life. You know, it's crazy. And going along there, you know, I would say the genre that I'm doing at that time would probably be pop, you know?
Yeah.
Because that time, Bruno Mars was really popular. Uh-huh. You know, Bruno Mars, all these, you know, Jason Derulo, Chris Brown, all these artists. A lot of, at that time, a lot of Asian artists was coming along doing this acoustic thing.
Yes,
yes. You know, what was
YouTube was blowing out, and there was like, a lot, very kind of the acoustic sound was very popular.
I'm sure you know some of them as well. Joseph Vincent?
Yeah.
You have like Timothy Delgado.
Of course, yes.
These guys were like, you know, inspiration for me. You know, who I am right now and what I'm doing right now. These were all artists that helped me grow as a person, because I used to look up to them, and, you know, what they used to do for me in my music, it just helped me develop a lot. You know, it helped me play guitars, drums, bass. The only thing I haven't played is piano, but maybe in the future. But yeah,
we'll wait for 4.0.
Yeah.
So in terms of like the iterations of you, you've been Black. So I wanted to ask, you already mentioned the former name as well. I'm just like really careful with the names, because I don't want to because I feel like let me just be current and not mention anything. But obviously, you know, I think they've been a great signifier of the different phases in your life and the songs and the hits that have come out of it. I know. So you've been Black. How did that name come about? And, you know, what does it mean? Because I'm not too sure, by the way.
It actually doesn't mean anything, to be
honest. Oh, really?
It does not mean anything, but from what I know, if you Google it...
Wow, that is so deep. Yeah. Wow, so meaningless.
I didn't want to, I don't want to deep it too much. You know, I think an artist's name is, it's really up to the person what they want to put into, you know. The meaning is really up to you.
Yeah.
Like, think about it, Post Malone, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, what the hell does that mean? You have no idea what that means, exactly. Yeah. So it's really up to you, you know. It's up to the person's persona and the person's presence on the music video and obviously on stage. Mm-hmm. And you are, you know, around people as well. I think that's what Yuven Black means, you know. It's just being you.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I definitely thought a lot more harder than that.
You know? Yeah.
I was like, what does Yuven Black mean? And then I also Googled, so I typed in Aizen, A-I-Z-E-N, and then I was thinking, I wonder why he changed it. And then when I searched it, I don't know, did Aizen come from some cartoon?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, okay. Because I was just like, oh, he must have thought the cartoon keeps popping up, so I need to change my name.
That's also one of the reasons why.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Because like, whenever I searched Aizen, it was just like, you know, I used to love this anime called Bleach.
Yeah.
I used to love it. I used to watch it all the time. I'm a huge anime fan, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what, Aizen, let's put I and Zen. I means love, Zen means calm state of mind. That kind of represents me.
Oh my God, wow, there was complete meaning there.
Yeah, there was complete.
You flipped the switch.
Yeah, but no, it's that's what happened basically. In the beginning, when I thought about Aizen, I thought really long and hard, you know, okay, am I sure? Yeah, I'm sure. I asked everyone, I was like, does Aizen sound good? They were like, yeah. But then, you know, as I went along, I was like, after Time China and Daddy, and I was just like doing music, I was like, maybe I shouldn't keep Aizen. I should change my name, go with a different persona. My sound is changing. Yeah. I used to sing a lot more before, but now I'm like sort of doing this melodic rap. You know, it's not exactly rap. I wouldn't call myself a rapper, but I would definitely say I'm more of a melodic rapper singer, you know, slash whatever. I'm semi-producer or whatever it is. Yeah, but yeah.
That's exciting. I feel like this defines the current chapter. And I think there's a distinction from, like, you know, the music, the style, and we can see that, we can see all of that as well. The videos are so, like, there's so much creative elements to it, and I know that there's a team of you, you know, working together. And I just wanted to ask, like, how does that brainstorming process unravel itself, because there's so many people there? I'm assuming there's lots of ideas, and how, like, you know, what part do you play when there's, like, you know, Jemima, Jay, Zach, and so many other, you know, dancers and so on?
You know what, you're asking the right question right now, because I don't really talk about this a lot outside, but, you know, normally me and Jay who's working on the music side of things, you know, because we collaborate a lot. He does most of the beat side of things, the editing side of things. I normally just think about the concept. I'm that little person who just gives that little push, you know. Okay, we have this song.
A very important person, it sounds like.
Yeah, people don't really think about it, but I don't know, maybe not. I just like to give people a little bit more motivation to what they're doing, you know, come up with the idea, the concept, you know, the sound, the direction that we should go for. It's not really written on, you know, the credit side of things, but I like doing that, you know, just giving that little push. I'm not the main guy who creates it, but I just kind of give the idea, the concept, the visionary, I guess. But
yeah,
I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah.
No, that's really important. I think, you know, once you have that, then the other people run with it, because then their parts come to life, right? But without that concept, you know, it's like, you can't just run with it, because you have nothing to run.
Yeah, you can't just go around and be like, all right, I'm going to play a G chord today.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a music video, two persons sitting down, you know, they're in love, whatever. It can't be like that anymore.
Yeah.
I think we need to think a little bit outside the box when we're creating music. It might take time for people to understand, but you have to trust your art. You have to believe in what you do, and eventually I think people will understand, and it comes with time as well.
Yeah, and I think, like, along the way, you know, you from working by yourself, finding, you know, musical friends, like, you know, you found Jay at a house party. I think that's what you told me. Right? And then, you know, and along the way, you know, you guys have continued finding many other kind of talents. You know, Metanoia has plenty. But the music videos now, it's kind of like unlocking a different chapter. The talents that we see in the music videos and in the makings, it's not just limited to the Nepali community, but there's so many non-Nepali people that you guys have brought in. And, you know, I'm sure now they're adopting, they're learning new dance routines, at least the word Saiho, Kursani and stuff like that. You know, so how did that make you feel?
You know, I'm this is something, like, I think, I don't know if people talk about this a lot, but, you know, we love to help the Nepalese community, but I think during this phase, I think we wanted to learn something from here. The talents that are, like, you know, these young talented people, you know, we've got these new dancers that we're working with. I think we learn a lot from them.
Yeah.
You know, how this younger generation works. Because I'm almost 30 now, and there are some things that I still need to learn from the younger generations, and that's so important to keep yourself up to date with the music, the style, the sound, what's going on right now. We can't always be like, all right, it has worked for me for the last 5 years. I'm gonna keep doing it. It shouldn't be like that. You should, as an artist and as a musician, you should always try to find something different, something that's not out there. And, you know, there are so many things that, you know, sometimes people tell me, you know, oh, why don't you make songs like Bibul Chetri or Sazan Raz Vaidya? But I'm not that kind of artist anymore. You know, I've moved on from that. I want to do something different. I want to do something different outside the box. Even if people don't like it, I'm going to still trust it. And I'm so happy that, you know, the team around me, you know, Nepalese, you know, black, white, whatever, you know, different cultures, like, you know, different Asians, you learn a lot from them, you know, you learn a lot of different cultures, a lot of different style, a lot of way of singing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
And this, you're also taking, so you're also, you've grown up in Hong Kong, UK and so on, but also ultimately, like, you know, you have your roots back to Nepal and you're taking that, all of that with you to these different cultures, to these different people. Do you get what I mean? I feel like a lot of the times us Nepali people, we stick within our own bubble and it's so comfortable to do that. But, you know, there's very few people who actually take their music, their movies and their writing beyond that bubble of the Nepali community in the UK. Yeah. And with this current recent movement of the batch of music videos and songs that you guys are doing, I see that happening. And it's quite nice because, you know, this is when, you know, we're taking it outside because it's like, I was just like, I'm not going to say anything, but yeah. So I think that's really nice to see. But what are some of, like, you know, everyone's different. What are some of the kind of like interesting things that you found, you know, working with Nepali people, whether they're from the UK or Nepali people from Nepal, because you guys have had quite a bit of experience touring and working with different sets of organizers and so on. and then creative talents from here as well.
So you're talking about people, Nepalese people here?
Yeah, let's start with that because
that
would be a big pot.
Yeah. I think, I don't know how it's like right now, but before when I was starting off music, there used to be a lot of restrictions with a lot of Nepalese people because, you know, they would be afraid to step out of their comfort zone, you know. You and me, like any everybody else, we work a 9-to-5, we go to university. That's so important to us, but you know, being in the creative side, you know, some of the family, you know, might not be as lenient, you know.
Of course.
Yeah, it might be a little bit difficult because we have our families coming over, you know, for us to have a good future. And like when we put something into our mind, into the creative side, sometimes, you know, it might not work out, you know.
Yeah.
Like back in the days, maybe the facilities and the things that we have around might not, you know, support them. But now we have so much opportunity and I think people should take that step. And I don't know, I think the young people now are much more forward.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot more open-minded towards these, you know, creative things. But, you know, that's what I feel right now. I don't know what's happening. I can't really say this is that, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is what's going on right now. And it's good. It's good. It's really good. I really like it.
A nice diplomatic answer.
Yeah.
I agree with your point about like kind of, I feel like the Gen Zs, you know, the Nepali Gen Zs right now, in terms of those that are kind of 18 to 23, 24, I feel like they're much more, I guess they have the space and maybe the privilege as well to be able to kind of, you know, actually, you know, I want to do this. Or actually, I don't want to work. There are a lot of people who are like, no, like, you know, it's not good for me right now and so on. But I think even like when you think about it, the people who are kind of like nearing their 30s or 30 pluses, you know, they just kind of got thrown in the deep end and just do it. So it may have been a slightly bigger battle with the parents saying, actually, you know, I really want to do this.
Yeah.
So you touched on it. So a lot of our parents want something which is much more like, okay, this is set, you know, Monday to Friday, get that money at the end of the month and it's going to pay the bills and, you know, life continues and that's the cycle.
Yeah.
So I think the worry comes to like, you know, doing something that is slightly creative. It's almost like, when does the paycheck come, right? So it's like that passion versus that something which is much more right there. Like for you and in your kind of household setting, how easy or difficult was it? Or like, I don't know if it's still a conversation, but like, you know.
I wouldn't say I have any problems with my family, but the main problem was it was money. Mm-hmm. Money is a huge factor, like when you're doing music, because you're investing your time, your money, and, you know, living in the UK, time and money is so important. You know, it pretty much runs your life, whatever you do, you know. You got to book studios, you got to do this, you got to look at health and safety.
Oh my God, yeah.
There's a lot of things that you have to think about and people don't understand. It's not just about being creative. I'm like, I've always talked about this with the boys, like even, you know, with a lot of younger artists as well. Like the most fun part is being creative. You know, it's so enjoyable because you love doing that. But the most annoying part is doing the legwork.
Yeah.
You know, the legwork is the most annoying part. You know, all these license or getting beats, you know, getting a place to book, finding people. These are all really, really difficult things to do. And, you know, I think going forward, for my advice to the younger people is get yourself a team. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a team. Create a team. and work with them for the next 5-6 years, and I'll guarantee your skills will improve and your team will be much better as well. From my experience.
Yeah. That's quite, I mean, realistically, I think money is such a huge thing, because a lot of the times it's like, where is that money coming from? Because when you start doing things, you have such a lovely idea, and then you're like, okay, how do I get this done now? And then you need money, right?
Yeah.
And then that's when you're like, oh, where is this money going to come from,
yeah,
right?
It's hard.
Yeah.
You need a lot of support, you know, you need sponsors, you know, your 9-to-5 is not going to support you to do this music video. So you need a group of team to actually help you fund the music videos. You know, you need a team. Like, my 1 month paycheck is not going to pay for a music video, is it? So you need a team.
So and like you spoke about sponsors, you know, like in your previous music, you know, that UN team have created, Time Taino Ho, Sia Moi Chang, and various others. There's a lot of Nepali languages, and there's I believe you tapped back into some support from Nepali businesses and so on, possibly. And okay, getting to the point, Nepal ma chain sponsors haru bata chain haina support pauna ko lagi alikati sasto re, I mean sajilo huncha ni ta, whereas yaha basera chain tyo create garda khere chain, like, where does one unlock that support from?
From my experience, it's going to be a long journey. You're going to have to ask a lot of people, you know, because a lot of people might not support your vision. You know, their businesses might not go hand in hand with what you do.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, you know, you have to sell it in a way that, you know, it's going to work. Like, you know, we're going to promote you like this and that. But it takes long. You know, right now we're currently on 200,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. It looks more visually appealing as well because we got more viewers. But people who are starting off, it'll be a little bit difficult. So what I would say is just focus on being creative first, mm-hmm. with what you have, and then later on push forward, you know, step out there, talk to people, like, you know, communicate, talk to people who's already actually doing it. You know, I tell a lot of like the younger, you know, younger bhais or ubainis at lay, talk to people. You have to talk to people because we're very reserved. You know, I feel like personally we're very reserved. We don't like talking about these things, but I think we shouldn't be afraid. Like, if you really believe in something, then you have to go get it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be about money, but if you really believe in your music, then just go do it, because it's going to make you happy once you finish it, right?
Yeah. No, that's very important. And hopefully anyone who's listening to you solo for the first time, that will give people an opportunity to really kind of like, actually, I should. I know, you know, a lot of the times when we talk, we tend to gloss over the kind of real fine details that are required to deliver. You know, we talk about how was the success, the video looks so good, we don't really think about the struggles, or what it takes, because I guess life is a bit of an ongoing struggle.
Yeah. You know, you and me, we're both creatives. Mm-hmm. We have our own struggles, you know, we have our own, you know, difficult times, good times. There's always going to be up and downs. And a lot of people, I wouldn't say a lot of people, that's the wrong way to say it, but I think some people think that we're well off, you know. We're not. We're not well off.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, we're not well off at all. We're working 9-to-5 every day. All of my boys, all my team members, we work 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. We only get 2 to 3 days to be creative.
Yeah.
That's the only time we get away from all these...
My God, eh?
Yeah, all these nonsense and, you know, just focus on music.
Do you sometimes think, because like today is a Saturday, I don't know when this video is going to come out, but you know, like when you're working, you're like... working switched on and doing something, you know, whether it's like wherever you are, you're working, and this pasari chain with you, as soon as you like switch off your work, then you're thinking, oh my God, maile podcast garnu parcha, yesto yesto aba tyo manchhe lai ke ke sodhnu parcha, you know, all this thing happens. And sometimes you just think, oh my God, kaam pani alikati thore gare bhane chain mero dimag lai alik dherai creative hune time paunthyo hola ni ta, haina? So I can think about new ideas, new concepts, or I can think about how do we jazz this up, not bhai ta, like, even that creative brain of yours is not getting the space and time it deserves. And sometimes this is when I think oh, Nepal ma gayo bhane chai buru kaam nagarikina pani khanu pukthyo hola and tyadekhi chai alikati sochera haina aru kura pani aunthyo hola, and maybe I would be around some creative minds too, so I could think things rather than, like, you know, hopping from one thing to the other. Okay,
yeah,
does that play on your mind?
Can you rephrase that last one? I didn't get that last one. It was really confusing. Hopping and
are you just laughing?
Yeah, I'm like, what is this guy saying? I'm like, what do you mean hopping?
No, I mean, When you're just okay, when you have like a, you know, job that you need to do, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like you don't get enough time to kind of let that creative juices flow, and the only time that you have left is that you actually now literally need to go and shoot or go and film. Right now, Arnie, I feel like it's really important that time to manifest the creative pursuits, we safeguard that when you're working Monday to Friday or long shifts, it's almost like it's never a great time to, you know, it's not enough to give that part of your brain to grow. Okay,
absolutely. It's not enough time. You know, you need time to be creative. You need to think a little bit. You need to just be in a relaxed place, you know?
Yeah.
Because my struggles when I was, you know, I was, I'm sure a lot of people in Farmer and Aldershot know this, that I used to work in three.
Oh, okay.
And used to come around and see me work. Uh-huh. Right? 9 to 5. I'm talking to people every day as a salesperson, you know? Yeah. I'm physically tired as well.
Oh my God, yeah.
And being physically tired and creatively tired together really exhausts your brain.
Mm-hmm,
you just don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
It's really, really tiring. It is a struggle. Definitely. Mm. You definitely need time. Just even working on this album, RM Bop, like, it was a struggle. Just working, coming back and all that stuff. It took us from December until now. And I'm just today at 2 a.m., I uploaded the album. So it's going to be coming out soon. Mm. That's finally finished.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah,
well done to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, go check the album out too.
Yeah, so the album will be out. 3 songs are already up online. You can already stream it. And then the rest will follow soon.
Yes. Yeah.
And on that note, I just wanted to ask as well, I don't know when this video is going to come up, but basically, Australia tour. So,
yeah.
So the Australia tour happened in past tense. Okay, Australia tour, August. When are you guys flying out?
We're flying on the 8th, so Monday. So it'll be...
It's so exciting.
It's soon. It's just like in 2 days.
In 2 days. That's 6th, 7th. Yeah, that's Monday.
Bro, I don't even have time. Yeah. You know, I don't even know if I have a flight because I was thinking about the album just yesterday and I'm finally free.
As long as you have your tickets and your passport ready, or you know, hopefully somebody's managing that. So
yes, somebody.
So this is going to be second time, is it?
Yes, second time. The first time wasn't done properly. But yeah,
do you want to elaborate? Do you want to expand on that?
There's
a story.
There is a little bit of a story there.
Yeah,
it's so funny, but yeah, there's a little bit of story, but. I don't know if anyone's done this before, but I feel like it's always us that do this kind of ridiculous, like, you know, ridiculous schedules and stuff. So me, Jay, Zach, we had a show for just one night in Australia.
Mm.
It was a 30-hour long flight just for one night.
Oh.
Just for one night. And you know why it was one night? Why? Because of work.
Oh.
So yeah, I had to basically take an early leave. I normally finish at 5. That's when the office is shut, right? So I left at 2, saying to my manager that, okay, I got to fly in Australia. I got to shoot. Pack my clothes for basically two days, but it was one night. And then we flew off for one night. I came back and then went back to work. So that's sort of what happened. So we only did Sydney at that time. It was a good experience, but it was for
And one. That was when you guys filmed Above Average, right? No?
Yeah.
So that was an amazing one night in Sydney.
It's crazy. God. Yeah, we got our music.
I feel like there should have been a music video of the 30-hour journey. That's a long wait. Like, I feel like that's a long journey too.
It was a very long journey. And me, Jay, I think it was me and Jay who were really, really drunk before we flew because we knew like our sleep patterns were going to get like, messed up. So we were like, okay, let's drink as much as you can until we get like sleepy. Once we're in the
interesting approach. I mean, like, there must have been a transit somewhere.
There was no transit.
Ew.
I don't think there was any transit. I think going back, I can't remember actually. I think going back, there was no transit. So it was a straight 30 hours in the plane, just chilling. We were drunk and we were just so stupid as well because we were not in our senses. Thankfully, Zach took care of us. But yeah, it was
that's good. You had a safe person.
Yeah, we had Zach to look after us. Yeah.
Okay, so what are you looking forward to this time round? Going back to like you get to do Australia second time 2.0.
I think I'm looking forward for the show. Obviously, I'm a huge foodie, so I'm gonna be taking a lot of buying a lot of snacks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. I just want to know what kind of people out there, you know, what kind of people are out there, and especially the Nepalese community, because I haven't seen enough. I've only been there for one night, mm-hmm. and I heard a lot of students from Nepal go to Australia.
Yes.
So I'm excited. I'm sure it's going to be a different kind of experience. But yeah, we'll see. I don't really have any expectations, you know. I don't like keeping, like, you know, this show is going to be sick. It's not like that. I just want to go there. I want to give my 150%, 200%, whatever.
Yeah.
Just go out there and give it your all and just have fun. Get to know people. Connect, you know, connect with different artists. If there's any artists out there, you know, just feel free. Reach out, you know. I'm more than happy to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see Lil Rock, you know. Mm-hmm, if I get to see Shashank KC with him, then it'll be dope as well. But, you know, it's...
Oh, it'll be amazing. It'll be amazing. You know, Australia has quite a lot of very kind of... that young/young adult population of Nepali people, which is like the right market for people who listen to your music as well. So, yeah. And I think there's several dates there as well. So that should be super fun. What's a song that you're really looking forward to kind of performing to a live audience?
I don't really know, actually. I just want to perform the whole album, but I can't really say.
You're really excited about this captive audience. Like, yeah, I'm not going to let you go.
I mean, more about the song. I think it's the performance side of things.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm more excited about, because before, you know, like I said before, we were still learning. We were a novice, you know. We were still learning about music, and we didn't know like what kind of performance to give. Mm-hmm. But I think now going into it, we're more like, okay, we got dancers.
Yeah,
we got like we've got a bigger team. You know, we can give a bit more than before.
Oh my god, I'm so excited!
Yeah, we're gonna be like moving, dancing. You know,
Oh my god, yeah. I'm just picturing like, what are you gonna be wearing? Because you know your fashion. I mean, whenever I see this, you know, the group of the Metanoia Squad, I always think, oh my god, you know, you always have like the most nicest thing that you're wearing and so on for music videos, and I always think, I wonder who picked it. I wonder if he picked it himself or if there's somebody who's actually kind of, I don't know, coaching you or styling you and so on.
Yeah, no, we've got a few stylists, you know.
Yeah.
But it's thanks to my partner as well, you know. Uh-huh. She's helped me a lot, like develop, you know, my style and everything. I used to just wear trackies, you know. I didn't really care about these things until my partner showed me, like, you know, okay, this is what you should be wearing in a music video. This is what you should be doing. Uh-huh. This is more presentable.
Yeah.
Even though if you're not like that in real life, you have to play the part in your music video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was something very important, you know, she used to tell me, like, what are you going to do? Just hold a guitar? You're going to just like just stand there and sing? No, you got to play the part. You got to act the part. You got to be the part.
You have a little Kris Jenner. I really liked the music video for Morotsuki Kaho. I think you looked amazing there.
Oh, thank
that was
you.
With Vijay, you know?
Yes.
And yeah. That looked really good. That was like done really well.
Thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, like even Dai Navana.
Oh, thank you.
Dai Navana was good too. So I think that was really good. You must have lots of people who send their love your way.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
Yeah, from all spectrums, I like to believe, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
men, definitely. Women and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's all love, you know. It's all good. It's all organic as well. It's nice to see people, you know, appreciating the music. Someone from the UK being here, you know, getting love from different countries around the world, for me it's big. Mm-hmm. You know, just even doesn't have to be a million or a thousand, even 5 people or 10 people means a lot to me. You know, just having 5 faithful listeners and followers is a lot to me.
Yeah.
You know, it just gives me that little push. Okay, I can do it for these 5 people. You know, yeah, it's just one of those things, you know.
Yeah, equally. And it's been so great to see, like, you continue and be consistent with it, with music, but then also to see you evolve as an artist. Mm. I think that's been really incredible. But also, I must ask, you know, the earlier part of you in terms of your eyes in life, there were quite a few songs, well, not few, I think there were at least 2 songs that sampled really popular Nepali pop songs. Mm. How did that play about? Was that completely fine? Or, you know, in Tithyo Samayma, there was a bit of a the original singers of these music, you know, of these songs, sometimes they would have different feelings about, you know, when artists, when emerging artists covered their songs and so on. And it's a very gray area. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And because like we see songs being sampled and sometimes that's how you end up discovering, like one huge example is Hung Up by Madonna, because she sampled ABBA's song, Gimme Gimme, but Nikki Kiko Bata thing, that was for in Hung Up, and I only found out later on. But that was like, you know, this city, and that's when I think that's the beauty of recreation and reimagining new things.
Absolutely.
But equally, in the Nepali spectrum of things, I realized that a lot of the times it doesn't quite deliver like that as well.
I think it's really, and I don't want to make this like a bad thing, you know, it's really down to the artist's mentality as well, you know, how they want to take it. If someone did a cover of my song, in all honesty, I would be really happy. I would be really happy that this person has took my song and did a different take on it. You know, I'll be really happy. I don't know. It depends on the type of sound that they do as well.
Yeah.
If it really resonates with me, I'll be really happy. You know? But I don't know. I think with the samplings, I don't know which song you're talking about. But was it with Harpo or was it with all these?
I think... Ow, ow, no.
Oh,
is that okay. Ow, ow, no.
Yeah, right? I met Nima Rumba. I'm a huge fan of Nima Rumba. I met him in person and he said, like, I really love your take.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got
good.
Yeah, I got a really positive feedback, you know, from that. And with Harpo, I think I did message Dai and he said, like, he said he likes the sound, but this is when, like, I switched up, you know, because he did say, like, Bhai, you need to do original music. And that's when I was like, yes, you are right. You know, coming from someone who's already done it, just saying that kind of gave me that push. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. All right. And then that's when Time Chain came out.
Yeah.
After, you know, that song. And then I was like, okay.
Oh, that's pretty good. I was just kind of expressing. I did not know if that conversation had even taken place. But I was just saying it because that continues. And I know that for a lot of emerging artists, it's you know, you have to rely on something that's sometimes a hit to get and then bring your own to it and so on. And sometimes that works great.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
because
of
like
course.
Harpo, when you think about it, that was released back in 2002, 2003. So a lot of young Generation Zs won't have listened to it.
Yeah.
But if they listen to yours, that's how you know back and that's why, you know, anyways, that's another conversation. I was going to say, like, remakes are such a wonderful thing. And then Time Trainer came out. And I'm not so switched on with a lot of music stuff. But I heard murmurs, like, in terms of, you know, could it have been too inspired from certain music and so on. And, you know, are you aware, like, you know, these things are happening or these kind of ideas are forming from the audience and so on.
Welcome to A-Star, your complete financial solution. The A stands for first class service and the star relates to you, our most important clients. We are a team of whole market advisors with more than 10 years of excellent service. Serving nationwide, we specialized in home mortgages and remortgages, wills and estate planning, residential sales and lettings, property management, real estates, insurances and pensions. For both personal and business financial advices, please feel free to contact us for consultant. We look forward to working with you. A-Star Financial Solution. Making your move memorable.
This episode of Exchange With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTap Send. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code EXCHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and Send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Lakshmi Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabine Rai and the Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode.
Yes, absolutely. I know, like, these things happen. You know, people love to compare you with other artists and stuff. But before you actually even become the artist that you are, you know, you take inspirations from other artists. And you might have similarities, you know. Even I think even one of these artists, big artists, said that, you know, Kendrick said, you know, he used to take inspirations from different artists. But now, taking all that inspiration, he's become his own artist.
Yeah.
You know, that is important. I think you should take inspiration. As an artist, I take inspirations from other people. Mm-hmm. I can't just come up with some random stuff that's going to pop right now. You have to take inspirations from other artists and make it your own.
Mm.
That's the whole beauty of it. You know, people don't realize it, but that's the whole beauty of being an artist. You take inspirations.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure, like, back in the days, all these, I don't want to say anything bad again. But I'm sure all of these other artists that were, you know, legendary artists, they take inspirations from other people as
well. Yeah, of course.
Of course, right?
Yeah.
You make it your own. And that's the whole point of it.
Yeah. I think a lot of things, you know, in the world, it's been, majority of the things have been done. So it's just another version until you get to, like you said,
exactly,
to that point where you've created a version that is now more you, and somebody else will take from it. And in a way, that's an honor.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, we know majority of the movies are going to be pretty much the same because,
exactly,
you know, it's a majority people will always do the whole love story thing and so on. You know, I think we just have to kind of like accept that too. But sometimes I feel like we expect greatness from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's like the person is on the journey. They're getting there, but you can't expect, like, you know, greatness from like the first record.
Yeah. You gotta look at your beginnings, you know, and everything. Where it's important. I think with music, with all these creative stuff, like, I'm sure you notice this as well. Probably every 10 years they get recycled. You know, they come back again.
Yeah,
in terms of fashion as well, you get your skinny jeans, your baggy jeans, they'll come back again.
Cargo and all that kind
of
stuff, you know.
Styles come back, music comes back, you know, everything. They'll come back again. Just people just forget, you know.
Definitely. So in terms of like talking about fashion, is there any kind of individual that kind of you tap into or think, oh, this is the kind of look that I want to create or look that I want to follow?
Not really. I wouldn't say that, you know.
Yeah.
But whatever I see online that I like,
yeah,
I'll be like, all right, I like this. I'm gonna try this. If it looks good, let's go with it. It's nothing that, like, you know, I want to be like this person or you know, I want to look like this person.
Because the look that you had in Django with the, I don't know what those tops are called, with these kind of like slits and so on. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was quite cool, to be honest. It's quite cool.
I mean, that really set you apart. I mean, the whole look has set you apart for a while. But I feel like even within the video, when there's so many people competing for your visual attention, you know, that was a very standout kind of thing. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what? All these outfits that I get, they're actually not even expensive. They're actually very, very cheap. They're very affordable. I just get them from ASOS, you know. If it works, it works.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's just one of those things, you know. You just got to have an eye for it. And I think that's obviously due to my partner as well.
Yeah,
it's just trial and error. Same with music, trial and error. Same with fashion, trial and error.
Right. The perks of having a good team behind you, they get you, you get them, and, you know, you end up creating a really bomb product.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, these this project that we have, that we, the music that we do and the vision that we have, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, people around me believe it. And, you know, even if they don't, you know, get the type of paycheck that they want, but there is something there that you've put in, and it goes into your portfolio. It goes into, you know, all the credit stuff and everything that will help you in your future as well. People need to realize that it's not just all about money.
Yeah.
It's also about actually putting in the effort of doing this project. And then I'm sure somewhere along in the future, this will all add up as an experience for you. And you will become, you know, you'll find a better job or you'll find a better opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, this is all important. This is all important, being a creative. You have to do something. You can't just expect a big paycheck or big, you know, opportunity unless you do this first. That's what I believe, but yeah.
No, completely. I think, and you touched a really interesting point there, like adding, building your portfolio is one thing.
Yeah.
For you, like, a question personally to you, do you see yourself getting to a point in your life, I'm not even sure if this is what you want though, but getting to a point in life where you do music full time and you get to a stage where you completely are sustained by music, is that what you're working towards, or is that
I think at this age, I'm being really realistic, you know, I know I'm not going to be doing music for the rest of my life. This is the sad part, you know. I can't be doing music for the next 40, 50 years, or like, you know, 20 years, I won't be doing that. My body won't be able to do it as well.
No, I'm sure you can.
I'm not like in that way. I'm just saying, like, I'm probably going to be very tired. I'm going to be very tired, and I'm going to be eventually really tired. And that's the sad part of it, because people are going to have problems down the line or whatever. I'm going to have problems probably down the line, and I won't be able to do music. I'm probably going to have kids, you know? And what I really want to do is I want to give that to the future, you know? Give that to the kids, the opportunities, whatever, you know? I'll probably just want to help the community. You know, this is, that's the whole point of this label, just helping the youth, you know? Right now, I'm doing it. Maybe 10 years down the line, I'll stop and I'll help somebody else. That's probably what I want to do, you know? More just helping this community, just music. I know it sounds like thingy, but, you know?
No, I think it's really good. I think because everything that we do, it's kind of like building blocks. And the blocks that we add, it may not be like, I mean, the wall that these bricks, whatever. Okay. I don't know where I'm going with this analogy. I'm just saying, whatever that you're helping build, you know, it might not benefit you in the long run, but it will end up creating this, I think, bona fide star one day who will break the barriers, go beyond the Nepali community in the UK, and then even, you know, be our version of like the big I have no examples right now, but like, a, you know, the British, next British musician and so on.
The thing is that I can't predict these things, so I can't really say it like that right now. I can't really predict it, because this group could go different ways. You know, we might think of a different idea, but that's the sort of vision I have, you know. This is my idea of it, you know, because there's so many ways that you can take. You know, we've built all this experience together. You never know, we might do something different. We might be an artist still. Or we might actually be with somebody else. We might be managing somebody else. So it's just one of those things, you know.
With LA, do you manage them, or is it a case of they're just under Metanoia?
So I'm not really in charge of LA. All right, these guys are just like my brothers, so I can't really say much about it. But I think Jay is more in hands with them. But me, I'm just sort of like a brother to them. I just help them out whenever they need me. That's all I do. Because I'm not ready for that responsibility yet. Maybe 5-10 years down the line, I might do it when I stop music, you know.
But so one question I wanted to ask is, you know, when you as a musician, you know, when you kind of come up with a concept, writing and so on, that's you own it. But then there are so many other things that are part of, you know, what you do, whether it's like going to events, performing, or sometimes, you know, ad opportunities and various, or interviews come out. And not all of them is actually quite fun, you know? Quite a lot of them is kind of tedious, tiring, but you just need to do it because you need to like talk about something, and it's that kind of two-way relationship that you need to kind of continue as well. What is one thing that you really enjoy out of this whole, you know, thing as a creator and a musician? And what is one thing that you do not look forward to?
What I really enjoy is this whole creative thing. It's just the finishing product, when we finish a music video or a concept that we have, and it just finish, it's there and it's done. That's the most like best feeling ever.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I can't wait to show this to everybody else, you know? And when people listen to it and they like it, the reaction that you get, it just, you know, it gives you more confidence. You know, you want to do a bit more. You want to keep chasing that rush, you know, that when that music is complete, that's the best side of it. The bad side, what I would say is, now I don't want to, I'm not trying to say anything bad to you, but
interviews.
Are you gonna that's say exactly that? What I was going to say.
Okay. But, let's wrap it up now.
No, but it all depends on the person, you know?
Yeah.
The reason why I came here, because I know you, Lex, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a bit more comfortable with you than a lot of people, because a lot of people, when they ask me questions, they ask some really, really stupid questions, you know, like, you know, do you have a girlfriend or do you have this? Like those kind of.
Well, I was gonna ask you that, but you said like my your partner, so I'm just partner, like there you go.
It's a question that it's just like, you know, it's just one of those like what do you call it? Question and answer type of, you know, interviews. You know, this is more natural. I like it. You know, it's nice. It's more organic. I get to express it in my own way. You know, it's nice.
No, I completely like understand. Like when I watch videos of many kind of musicians and so on. I'm just like, oh my God, and I just feel for them, like, oh, like it must be quite tiring, because sometimes, you know, when you're doing back-to-back things, it's like you're largely answering the same type of questions as well, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I try not to get too deep into, you know, like certain things.
I'm so happy that you did your research. That's the main thing. You did your research. A lot of people don't even do their research and they don't even know how to pronounce my name.
That's
the most frustrating thing. You listen to my music, but you don't even know my name. You don't even know the group. That's disrespectful for me.
I think people invite, I've seen that happen a lot. People invite you for an interview and so on. Not saying you, but like in general. And then they're like, tell us about how did you start? And it's almost like you're telling them. Like, it's like at least know something so we can have a two-way thing rather than, maile yo barsama isto gare and isto gare.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what was the most weird interview I had? I think it was with VMAG. So I was interviewing my own boys.
Oh yeah, I saw that. And I was thinking, I was trying to think of it very positively. I was like, wow, they gave them the ownership, but I feel like they're being lazy. That's being lazy.
To be honest, like, I don't know what was going through their head, but whatever it is, that was not a good experience for me, because I was just like, I came, all right, we're gonna have an interview. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And I go in there and they tell me, oh, you're interviewing yourself. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I know that you were there when we were having a chat with Jay, and I had said, no, eventually, you know, I'm going to bring all of you guys, but it's going to have to be like, you know, solo. Solo. And the thing with it, it's like, you know, being part of the UK Nepali community, which, you know, we all are, we've seen each other at various stages, whether it's like at UK Nepali events or, as we mentioned, various contests and so on. And I don't think we've ever actually sat down like this and had a conversation, but I personally feel like, you know, okay, I know where to kind of talk, which points to go in from and so on. So
That's exactly why I'm here, because I'm more comfortable with you. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. And I appreciate you bringing me here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you came as well. So the other thing that I wanted to ask is like, with, you know, music is such a big thing and it's such a minefield and there's so many genres, so many kind of different countries to get inspired from as well. What is one thing that you feel like, you know what, this is a direction that would be like a goal? Like, you know, I would love to kind of tap into this genre or this style of singing. Because I felt like earlier on, like you said, there was that kind of pop, because back then it was more like, you know, just kind of European, Western, American stuff. And then there was like the more Eastern flavors as well. There's the Nepali. And now right now you're really, R&Bop is very much centered around like the British beats and British music, right? Yeah. But then there's like, you know, right, what is it called? I completely forgot. Like even Beyonce and so on have that beats going on. The current album, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I haven't listened to it properly, but it's an interesting album. I've listened to a few songs.
And clearly, you know, just talking about Beyonce, like in the past few albums has been very kind of powerful in terms of that activism mode and so on. But now I think, like, you know, she and maybe Drake as well have really listened to what's the beat for 2022, and they've really tapped into it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting, like. Like, do you have any kind of like, oh, I'd love to kind of bring in flavors of, I don't know, different parts of...
Yeah, I think right now, currently, I'm listening to a lot of Nigerian music.
I was going to say Africa, but now you hit it.
It's specifically Nigerian. Yeah. Really, really interesting. The beats are completely different. Mm-hmm. It's something new. Like, I'm really like studying it at the moment and seeing what we can do. Like, right now, like me and Jay, I wouldn't really say like it's British, but it's more fusion.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke about this like even before we started this whole Time China thing. We need to move with fusion music, mixing in two different cultures, like two different styles, and bringing in something different is important. I think it just kind of brings a different side of it and a new concept as well. Because me and Jay, when we were doing Time China, we were like back and forth. It was not just him doing the whole verse. It was actually me as well. It was back and forth. Right now, we're doing the same thing as well. It's just fusion, but a different kind of genre. I think the idea of fusion is just beautiful, you know, for me. Mm-hmm. It's just like creating something different. It's just nice, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the people who like Time China, that sort of back and forth, will miss it. So that's why we need to go see you guys live. And that's when we can get to relive those hits as well.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, I think Time China and... Are you in Kansi?
No, so I'm not in Kansi. No.
Oh, okay, sorry. But yeah, because a lot of the songs came around in a very short amount span of time around that period, but there was like so many songs being dropped.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to track who was in what.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was such a moment for, I think, that kind of genre of music, because it really captured the attention of so many people.
Mm.
Yeah. How did that make you feel?
It was, you know what, it was nice. I think I was really surprised by the response from people. It took me by surprise to the point where my Instagram was boo 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 boo. You know,
yeah.
People were tagging me and stuff. I was in Nepal. People kept tagging me, and I was just like, I actually deactivated my account. It was too much for me. Yeah, I'm not used to that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've even told you know, my group, like, I'm not used to this social media thing because it's completely new. Back when I was just a normal singer, I only had like probably 200 followers, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't get that kind of, you know, my phone kept ringing with notification. It would never happen. And then when that happened, it took me by surprise. You know, I felt a bit pressured. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt I had to respond to everyone.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that happened. That's why I was like, that's it. Private, deactivate, just focus on the music. That's it. And then after on, I realized like it is important to be active in social media, and it took time, you know.
Yeah,
it took time to kind of switch to that mode.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a kind of a positive battle, I would like to say, a positive battle that, like, you know, you need that part of you needs to be present, even though you might not, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's different ways. Some people have people who manage it, or some people have like other personal profiles and so on that is much more like genuine to them, and one would be just like, this is the work me,
yeah.
this is the real me with like the very few people that actually know me and so on.
Yeah.
But I think to get there on that journey can be quite tricky for individuals as well, right?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself in a much better place now in terms of juggling the kind of social media side of things as well as,
yeah,
you know, who you are?
I think, yeah, definitely. I would say even just everything around me helped me, even my job, actually, because before I was working as a chef and I was quite antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on to sales with music, everything came along. And I think in time, it just got better. I started becoming more myself.
Yeah.
I was not comfortable with speaking to people that I don't know. Because in the vlogs, I look like I'm such a happy-go guy.
Yeah.
But then some random guy just, you know, tries to have a joke with me, and I'm just like, who is this guy, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, it feels uncomfortable. I'm not used to that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm.
But I think in time, the more I travel, like I said, the more I do these things,
mm.
get better in time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a solo child?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah. Well,
why did you say question?
Just guessed. Yeah,
good guess.
Interesting. Yeah, but no, definitely. I think sometimes when you're in a group, it's much more easier for you to let the other person take that lead in terms of speaking and so on, right?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that reduces the opportunities for you to put yourself out there and have this dialogue and so on. And when you have a right kind of conversation with somebody, then you suddenly realize that actually, you know what, it can be all right and so on. So hopefully, there'll be more opportunities like that along the way. When you guys were in Nepal, you guys performed in countless places, did various kind of ad spots and so on. Not just limited to Nepal, but what gig or event has been the most memorable?
This is a difficult one. I think
why were you so drunk that you forgot everything?
I mean, I got food poisoned, but it was quite memorable. Like, you know,
oh, no.
It was quite nice. In India, it was quite fun, actually. I enjoyed India.
That sounds really tough.
Yeah, India was nice. Nepal was nice, too. I think Nepal and India definitely was probably the best, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sort of pick and choose between those, but I think Nepal and India was a really, really good tour experience for me.
Yeah.
Doing 7-8 cities, mm-hmm. like in a month's time. I don't know if it was a month's time or 2 months' time.
That's like a rock star life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. It was.
I mean, the pictures and everything looked like, you know, you guys were literally owning everything, and you guys did. And but there were there was quite a big entourage, right? And I think wasn't there like Coco Man and stuff?
Yeah.
In the thing.
We had Zach, Coco, Jemima, me and Jay, obviously. But yeah, it was a good experience. But I wouldn't say it was all positive. You know, it's wrong, you know, to say tour is hectic. You have to be on schedule. You have to be very, very like smart about things, you know, because there are times where you fuck up. You know?
Yeah.
There are times where we missed flights. We missed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we missed flights. There was even a time where like we were going back home because of the fog, the plane didn't land. So we went back to and then we had to take the car. It was like a 12-hour journey.
Oh gosh,
it's hectic, right? Those are the things that people don't really.
So tiring.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not fun sometimes. Mm-hmm. It is fun when you get on stage and interact.
Yeah,
but the legwork, the traveling and stuff, it's hectic.
Yeah, but it's so amazing that you got to see be part of that world at such a kind of interesting time in your lives, because a lot of people who are not that part of the world, we can't even like think about it, right? It's like it's beyond our imagination. And you know, and you're so lucky to have that moment again back with Australia. Because you know, music or anything that we do in life, you know, there's never a guarantee, and we don't know how long this will continue on for, but I know for a fact that, you know, it will continue on for many years for you guys, because the more that you guys create, the more iterations or different versions of you guys that you become, I believe the more different pot of audiences that you will kind of tap into. And you guys have so many fans like all over the world. So
thank you.
Even in India too.
Yeah, I didn't know, but yeah, I realized we have a lot of fans in India. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. You know, it's nice to see.
I think
people.
In a way, the group dynamic helps, because there's somebody for us, everyone. Does that make sense? Because you guys are in a group, there's like someone for everyone.
Oh, If you want to say it like that, then definitely. If you don't like this guy, then you can go for that, yeah?
I feel like, you know, because you have that kind of mysterious, slightly more kind of shy or reserved kind of persona. And whereas, you know, some people are slightly more... I guess forward, you know, they're like the ones who are kind of like always talking and so on. So I feel like in that way, it's kind of like a boy band, but obviously you guys aren't a boy band.
No.
So they won't know how to go.
I like being a bit laid back, but definitely different type of people. Yeah.
As you touch touring, we often hear that touring is the moment to actually make money as a creative person, as a musician and so on.
Yes.
You guys have worked with event organizers in really different parts of the world, including the UK. I'm not sure. Did you guys have a show in America? I felt like there was a show in America once.
Yeah, we did. We did. Me and Jay, I think the first time we went there was me and Jay.
Okay.
At that time, we finished Time China, but we just played it out there. Had a good response. And the second time we went was me, Jay, and Simon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we just went there twice,
but
it was all good. The vibe is just like, you know, it's like they get you, mm-hmm. you know, because in the UK, America, it's sort of similar, I would say.
Yeah.
Not very similar, but sort of similar. But, you know, it's nice. It's cool. I like it. I think America is a really nice place.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when it comes to like negotiating, dealing with event organizers and so on, do you feel that, you know, you as artists, you as group of artists growing out there, you guys get a good, you know, you guys are represented, you guys are valued, or is it a tough act in terms of the whole kind of conversation piece, ironing out the details and prices to get you on the road?
I think when we first initially started this traveling around the world, we were very inexperienced how to deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just hard when you don't know what you're diving into. You want to go on tour, but we forget about all the important stuff, you know, dealing with the money side of things, you know, the flights and all these visa stuff. You don't know, you know, in the beginning, you're all learning and stuff. So those are the most difficult part. It is not easy if an organizer is not like on time. If they're a bit late, it affects us as well. It affects everyone, you know. It's just sort of like a ripple effect, you know. If one person does something wrong, or if one person is late, it affects everything. You know, let's say we book the flights and the visas aren't ready.
Mm.
You know, that's going to be a problem, isn't it? So those are the things that were very difficult. I think the visa, the money side of things.
Mm.
And, you know, my advice to other people, take the money first and then fly.
I mean, I feel like that should always be the case.
Absolutely.
I think that's when. And sometimes you only learn by bad experiences, but hopefully you know, one bad experience can then get you on the path as well, because there are a lot of people who are not so great at kind of, you know, delivering and so on too, so that's a good word of advice. So three videos out from RN Bop. Will there be more videos, or what's the kind of the journey for the album at the moment?
So definitely more videos. Absolutely more videos. Definitely. I can't say how many in how many months and days because of the lifestyle that we live. You know, it's you need time, but definitely more videos. We are not stopping. We're going to keep doing videos, you know, just continue. Definitely more and more. Maybe a new album, maybe.
That's exciting.
Yeah, definitely. We're not going to stop. Like, I think that's the main thing, you know, as a musician, you shouldn't stop. Just keep doing it. So yeah, definitely more.
And one more question about the album. So RN Bop is a collaborative piece between, I guess, Jay and you, but obviously the wider team is always there. Yeah. Is this a permanent thing? That will the next album be a collaborative one as well, or you know, it's a case of we'll see.
Oh, well, it all depends, right? Uh-huh. But it's definitely a permanent thing.
Okay.
But we are still separate artists. Mm-hmm. But JYB is a separate, different thing.
Yeah,
it's all about just having fun.
Yeah,
right. I might want to do different types of songs, so that kind of falls into a different genre. But this JYB is R and Bop. It's a different kind of genre where you just want to have fun, just dance, mostly in the cars. These will be playing in the cars or like the clubs. It's more suitable for that kind of music.
Yeah.
So we just want to just leave it there, you know, JAYB. Okay.
So JAYB, the genre would be considered R and Bop. You know, that's the genre itself. So you as a person by yourself, if you were to like, let's say, drop a single next week, just You've Been Black, which genre do you think you fit right now as a solo person?
As a solo person, I think maybe a bit more R&B pop, a little bit more, I would say. But
is that a side of you that we might see at some point?
Yeah, definitely more more Afro, more R&B, more Afro pop. You know, that's the sort of music that I like personally. I'm not really a rapper, but this JAYB, this R&B pop, kind of let me express myself as a different, you know, artist that I can rap a little bit more. I'm not like a you know, this meaningful rapper or anything like that. I'm just saying how I feel about things, you know.
Being very modest here.
it is the truth, you know. I can't rap battle with someone if someone dissed me. I'll probably just keep my mouth shut, but
we all have different spaces for us to shine.
Yes, yes. Of course.
And like along the way, you know, we've seen a lot of Nepali people you know, do music, stop music, start music. And now we're seeing like, you know, slowly different set of Nepali people kind of emerging, doing R&B, doing hip hop. And I think that's mainly all I'm seeing. I'm not seeing like metal and so on. But, you know, some people who sing very like very indie kind of slow pop songs as well. You know, that side of the thing is growing as well. What's your kind of take on views on like, you know, like 10 years ago scene and the right now scene?
10 years ago scene. In the Nepalese community, I think I saw a lot more people singing covers.
Yeah.
Covers, holding the guitar. I used to be one of them.
Uh-huh.
I used to be one of them. That was the sort of thing that was happening. But now I think there's more rappers coming out. A lot more rappers and a lot more...
Even like a female rapper.
Yeah. I see a lot of like, you know, a lot of people who love like Bipul Chetri and they've become this different kind of artist. Like very similar to Bipul Dai, but like a bit more different, a bit more pop, you know, a bit more now, which is like, which is quite cool. Because he's like the sort of like the pioneer and then people just came along, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's nice to see that, you know, people having their own take on that type of music. And it's beautiful. That's the whole point of, you know, music. It's nice. Like I see a lot more rappers, a lot more like these folk singers. It's just nice. You know?
Yeah. I think there's space for everyone. There's space for everyone. We just need to kind of like hone our craft and like keep doing what we need to do and producing great stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. On that note... thank you so much for coming over and having a chat on the Action With podcast. Is there anything else that I have forgotten to ask you? I feel like, oh my god, this sounds like a job interview question. Okay, is there anything that have I missed anything? Or please feel free to kind
it's calm.
Add anything.
No, you've covered everything. It's calm. I love it. It's nice. It's organic. Yeah. I love this.
Yeah, I mean, because this is just a very momentary thing because, you know, life is ongoing. And I'm glad that I've caught you, I've caught up with you in your You've Been Black moment. And maybe, you know, a few years down the line, it might be something else or it might just be the same You've Been Black, but, you know, more learned, more experienced and so on because of, you know, that's what life does to us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Like when you're feeling down, what do you do? Like what kind of gets you up and be like, you know what? Living is great.
When I'm feeling down.
Yeah.
When I'm really feeling shit, I go to the gym.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of my way of, you know, putting my frustrations out there. Like, you know, I don't listen to music when I feel bad. I actually just...
Oh, so you're like, you're without music, gym.
Yeah, that's the kind of person. Yeah, if I'm really, really like focused and I'm really, really need to let my stress out.
Yeah.
No music, just gym. But when I feel good about myself, I listen to music.
Uh-huh.
I want to experience music like that, not when I'm sad. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't like being like depressed, sad, and my life is all that. I'm not saying like that's wrong, but I'm just saying I just don't like being that. That's just sort of like just me. Yeah, like
So what's your like in your happy moment, like what song would be blasting through your
happy headphones? Moment?
Yeah.
So back before when I was university, so this is me, Jay, Zach, you know, we used to go uni and like what we used to do was we just used to listen to Loyal.
Oh, okay.
These hoes ain't loyal. You know, we just used to like just sing stuff out and it was just like just having fun.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Such a fun song anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite fun. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, drink, you know, all that uni stuff, whatever. But yeah, that's the song that I would play if I was like,
yeah,
you know, vibing and stuff.
Oh, cute. Any final words for people who are listening to the podcast right now?
Podcast. I'd definitely say to a lot of creative who's in sort of like the same situation as me, like we're in the same boat, you know, we're in the same boat. We're trying to go to the same place. So don't think about money. Focus on being creative first and then money will come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Yuvan Black, for giving us your time, sharing your story. It's been a lovely, lovely conversation. And I hope you have more amazing moments ahead, whether it's interviews or lots of music videos and the creative stuff as well. Yeah. I can't wait to see, you know, the performances and so on, what you're going to wear, how you're going to dance and so on. So you're such a delight to watch. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, silver partners, TapTap Send and New Luxme Jewelers, bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining and Nepali Music Festival UK 2022. Thank you for listening to Ek Chin With.